Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Abraham Lincoln, our 16th president. It's a story that involves all kinds of mysteries and miracles. We're going to ask about three of them. We're going to ask about how it is that an incredibly poor boy from an undistinguished family background with less than a year of total schooling could develop into one of the greatest minds and finest writers of the 19th century and, in fact, of all time. A second question, how could somebody who was a lifelong politician, considered by many a political hack, who lost more political races than he won, certainly that was true of races of substance, who had dropped out of politics 12 years before he ran for president, basically in disgust, how could someone like that ever get nominated for president of the United States by a major party? And finally, how did somebody who despised the sight of blood, who even disliked hunting, who never had any real military experience at all, become one of the most ruthlessly effective war leaders ever? Those are the questions on the table in this special broadcast, The Real Lincoln. The music in the background is the melody. It's actually an old Irish melody called Rosin the Bow. But it was used as Lincoln's campaign song in 1860 with words by Jesse Hutchinson. And the words say a great deal about the way people felt about Abraham Lincoln, candidate for president. And it's amazing to think of any candidate for president today with that kind of campaign song. Then up with our banners so glorious, the star-spangled red, white, and blue, we'll fight till our cause is victorious. For Lincoln and liberty, too. How did he get there? And what about the contradictions at the very, very heart of Abraham Lincoln's life and career? In 1959, in the 150th anniversary of Abraham Lincoln's birth, he was born, of course, on February 12, 1809, at dawn in a tiny log cabin in Kentucky. But 150 years later, Carl Sandburg, the great American poet, who is also Lincoln's biographer, was asked to give a special speech to a joint session of Congress. And in that speech, Sandburg said, "Not often in the story of mankind does a man arrive on earth who is both steel and velvet, who is as hard as rock and soft as drifting fog, who holds in his heart and mind the paradox of terrible storm and peace unspeakable and perfect." Beautiful words, but it gets to the paradox of Lincoln, which even his earliest biographer, J.G. Holland, J.G. Holland wrote a huge biography that was published the year after Lincoln's assassination. And he interviewed literally scores of Lincoln's best friends, his associates, people who knew him well and worked with him. He wrote in his biography, "There are not two who agree in their estimate of him. One would say he was a very ambitious man. Another would assert that he was without a particle of ambition." Holland wrote that the people who knew Lincoln best said he was one of the saddest men that ever lived, and that he was one of the jolliest men that ever lived, that he was very religious, but that he was not a Christian, that he was the most cunning man in America, and that he had not a particle of cunning in him, that he had the strongest personal attachments, and that he had no personal attachments at all, that he was a tyrant, and that he was the softest-hearted, most brotherly man that ever lived, that he was a leader of the people, and that he was always led by the people, that he was cool and impassive, and that he was susceptible of the strongest passions. What do you make of all that? What J.G. Holland made of it was that the contradictions in Lincoln's character were the very essence of who he was. But the idea of someone of such importance in our country and around the world, because Lincoln is the one American figure who is universally admired absolutely everywhere. How did somebody like that emerge from the background from which he emerged? Both his parents were illiterate. His father had learned to scrawl out his name to sign legal documents. His mother, Nancy Hanks Lincoln, never learned even that. She signed her name, and we have a couple of examples of it, with an X, as people did. And Lincoln, writing some of the most beautiful prose ever, how did that happen? When he spoke about his own background, he, of course, emphasized, and part of this was for political reasons, because it was part of the Lincoln legend, as it's been called, but it's a legend that's true. When asked about his background, he would say that it can all be condensed into a single sentence, the short and simple annals of the poor. Now, Lincoln, being a guy who loved poetry, was making a poetic reference to Thomas Gray's Elegy Written in a Country Churchyard. It's a poem that became very famous after it was published in 1751, again, 60 years before Lincoln's birth, or nearly. And what the reference is to a verse in Gray's elegy, where he writes, "Let not ambition mock their useful toil, their homely joys, and destiny obscure, nor grandeur hear with a disdainful smile the short and simple annals of the poor." Perhaps in this neglected spot, he's talking about a country churchyard, is laid some heart once pregnant with celestial fire, hands that the rod of empire might have swayed, or waked to ecstasy the living lyre. But knowledge to their eyes, her ample page, rich with the spoils of time, did ne'er unroll. Chill penury repressed their noble rage, and froze the genial current of the soul. He was talking about his own understanding of the people who came before him in the Lincoln family, and particularly in the Hanks family. He did have the sense that all of his ancestors were, except on his mother's side, poor, anonymous, illiterate, undistinguished people. But he wasn't entirely correct, as it turns out. And he may have ignored some of the realities. He said privately to his law partner, Billy Herndon. Herndon was also a later biographer of Lincoln after he died. And Herndon, much younger man, was his law partner for 16 years before Lincoln became president. And they were riding the circuit, which lawyers did at the time. And Herndon remembered very vividly that Lincoln told him very directly that his mother, Nancy Hanks, had been an illegitimate child. And that there's no record anywhere of who her father was. And that, of course, lends support to it. Lincoln believed that his mother had been fathered by a Virginia aristocrat, presumably a slave owner, someone Lincoln said was well-bred and educated. And he suggested to Herndon that that was where he got some of his love of words and learning and poetry and scholarship and all of the rest of it. But actually, Lincoln's family on his father's side was also interesting. The first Abraham Lincoln was his grandfather. And he was a farmer, not a wealthy farmer, but a farmer who got by in Virginia. And he served in the Virginia militia. He became a captain. And then, with a lot of other people, at the end of the Revolutionary War, he headed out for what later became Kentucky. It was still part of Virginia. There's only one problem. He got himself a farm. He got several farms, in fact, and he started cultivating them by chopping down trees. And he was out planting corn one day with his three sons. He had a son who was 15 and a son who was 11. And the younger son, Thomas, who became Lincoln's father, was right beside him planting corn. He was 8 years old. And a Shawnee Indian came and attacked them and shot and killed the first Abraham Lincoln. His little boy, Thomas Lincoln, was crouched over the body. Another Indian was coming to grab him and perhaps to scalp him. They don't know. At that point, the older brother of Thomas Lincoln shot and killed the Indian who was in the midst of the attack. You can imagine 8 years old, you're crouching over your father's dead body. That's Thomas Lincoln. He became the father of the future president. The real Lincoln. More coming up.
Well, just when you thought it couldn't get any better, MyPillow is launching the MyPillow 2.0. Back when MyPillow was invented, it had everything you could want in a pillow. Now, nearly two decades later, they've discovered a new technology that makes MyPillow even better. The MyPillow 2.0 has the patented adjustable fill of the original MyPillow, and now with brand new fabric that is made with a temperature-regulating thread. The MyPillow 2.0 is the softest, smoothest, and coolest pillow you'll ever own. Say goodbye to tossing and turning and flipping your pillow over in the middle of the night, and more great news on the MyPillow 2.0, buy one, get one free with promo code MEDVED. MyPillow 2.0 with its temperature regulating technology is 100% made in the USA and comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio podcast square to receive the MyPillow 2.0 buy one, get one free offer. Just when you thought MyPillow couldn't get any better, MyPillow 2.0 gives you the best pillow ever. Enter promo code MEDVED at MyPillow.com to get your MyPillow 2.0s today.
Why be held back by pain and difficulty and soreness and stiffness when Relief Factor is available and available so readily? You have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. This is $19.95 for a 3-week quick start, which can reduce the inflammation, it can reduce the pain, it can reduce the soreness and stiffness and make you feel better. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, michaelmedved.com, find the banner for Relief Factor. If you're troubled by Washington moving toward more government control, income taxes, rent control, and centralized decision-making, now is the time for you to take action. At Washington Policy Center, we want free market reforms that make Washington the best place to raise a family, to get a job, or to start a business. WPC is nationally renowned for its effectiveness in an ideologically hostile state. Get off the sidelines. Become a member today at WashingtonPolicy.org. That's WashingtonPolicy.org.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
February is Heart Month, and every year, Extendivite has a sale. This year is no different. Extendivite is regularly $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply. In February, Extendivite is only $57.50 for a 2-month supply plus shipping and handling. Extendivite is a combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. These ingredients work synergistically to improve your overall health. So don't delay. Join the Extendivite family today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Special History Program, The Real Lincoln, on The Michael Medved Show.
Hurrah for the choice of our nation, our heroes so brave and so true. We'll go for the great reformation, for Lincoln and liberty too. We'll go for the boy from Kentucky, the hero of Hoosierdom true. Pride of the suckers, so lucky, for Lincoln and liberty too.
We'll go for the Great Reformation. That was part of the campaign song for Abraham Lincoln in 1860, the year he was elected President of the United States. The story of Abraham Lincoln and getting to that point where he could deliver a Great Reformation is one of the most American and one of the most inspiring of all biographies ever. And it's the subject of this very special show, The Real Lincoln. We spoke a little bit about how Lincoln basically wrote off, did not want to speak about his ancestry or where he came from, never spoke about his father. He did have kind words to say about both his mother and his stepmother later. He never had kind words about his father, Thomas Lincoln. Thomas Lincoln apparently was a difficult man. And there are reports from several people who knew the Little family when Lincoln was growing up who say that there was tension between the two of them. He never came to see his father on his father's deathbed, and he did not attend the funeral in 1851, even though other members of the family very much wanted him to do so. He clearly did not share his father's either religious passion. His father was an extremely committed Baptist, and one of the reasons that Lincoln apparently never wanted to go to church and never liked going to church was there's a description from one of the cousins who lived with the Lincolns for a time that when Lincoln was a small boy, he used to be forced to go to church. He would go in and then he would come out and he would repeat the sermons verbatim and often make fun of them. And his father caught him doing this at one point and did some corporal punishment, hit him, and basically said, get to work. Lincoln didn't like working, but that was all that Thomas Lincoln's life was about. He was a subsistence farmer. And one of the problems that he had was in Kentucky, even though his father had these claims of land and had considerable land, Thomas Lincoln had no claim to them because at the time that was still part of Virginia, and at the time the law that applied still left everything to the first son. That was Lincoln's uncle Mordecai, and Uncle Mord, as he was known, was a very strange bird. Lincoln said got all of our family's talents. And that was clearly meant to be a double entendre, the meaning both money as in talents and talents as in brains. But Lincoln was born far from the privileges that Uncle Mordecai could represent. He was born in a dirt floor, one room, log cabin 3 miles south of Hodgenville, Kentucky. He had no memory of that. And his first home he remembered was the home that Thomas Lincoln moved the little family to. He had an older sister, Sarah, and he originally had a brother, Thomas, who died in early childhood. But Lincoln and his mother, Nancy Hanks Lincoln, and his father, Thomas Lincoln, and his older sister, Sarah, moved to a new farm at Knob Creek, Kentucky. It was 10 miles northeast of where he was born. And that was the first place he remembered. And, of course, like most other children at the time, he was expected to work with his father and to do that work at all times. In 1816, when Abraham, he always, by the way, disliked being called Abe. Even as a child, he wanted to be called Abraham. He did not like being called Abe. He didn't even like the nickname Honest Abe that some of his political managers later affixed on him. Later, in 1816, Abraham was 7 years old when the family moved to Indiana. Now, why did they move to Indiana? Why did they move north? In part because Thomas Lincoln, his father, being a deeply religious man and a passionate churchgoer and somebody who attended revival meetings and cared very much about things, was also bitterly anti-slavery. He hated slavery. And in Indiana, that was part of the Northwest Territory where slavery was forever forbidden, according to the original grant of that land. And also because his claims of his property in Kentucky were suspect. Kentucky was a mess, and it was particularly a mess for people who were illiterate and couldn't read through or file land claims properly. And so even the farms that he owned back in Kentucky, or he thought he owned, weren't clearly owned by him, and it looked like he could do better up in Indiana. So Abraham is 7 years old, and they move. They move to Spencer County, Indiana, and there they originally built sort of a lean-to, which they survived in for a time, while Thomas Lincoln built the cabin where Abraham spent his entire childhood. It was 360 square feet. Now think about it for a moment. Originally, there were four of them who lived there. Later, there were eight people who lived there. When they were joined by a cousin of Lincoln's mother, who another illegitimate child, and the relationship was really unclear, but Dennis Hanks was an older boy and became Abraham's favorite. And then later, other relatives moved in as well. 360 square feet. A dirt floor. Difficult circumstances. And what about education? Well, Lincoln recalled, and all historians agree that he is correct, that his total time in school during his entire upbringing was less than a year. And basically, there were three different parts of school terms, each one involving about 2 months. And they used to have at that time what were called blab schools. And there weren't regular school teachers, and it was basically all grades thrown together. If someone was traveling through, and he was literate at all, and could work with some of these textbooks that they used at the time, then he would be teaching the blab schools where people would recite out loud. And what's fascinating here is we have a very good illustration of the kind of instruction that Abraham Lincoln would have received. They used very commonly on the frontier a Thomas Dilworth's New Guide to the English Tongue. That would teach kids how to read. And part of what Thomas Dilworth would do would be to put together whole sentences that were words of three letters or less. And people would learn how to read by memorizing this and then associating with what's on the page. Part of what Abraham Lincoln memorized, we believe, apparently, as well as we can understand, are the words, "No man may put off the law of God. The way of God is no ill way. My joy is in God all the day. A bad man is a foe to God." Kind of lucky that the ACLU wasn't there at the time to interfere with blab schools. Well, those schools did help teach Abraham Lincoln to read. But what he did with that knowledge is another story entirely. Part of understanding the real Lincoln.
It's easy to see. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. We all know something big is coming, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming more self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. My Patriot Supply is the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, and they make it easy for you to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, heirloom seeds for your garden, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items will ship that same day. Time is short. Prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
News update. A shooting in Pastor Joel Osteen's Lakewood Church outside of downtown Houston. A woman who was with a child walked in and started shooting before she was killed by an off-duty police officer. Unfortunately, the child she was with was also hit during the crossfire and is in critical condition. Another man was also injured. Israeli forces rescued two hostages from a residential apartment early Monday in the Gaza Strip. Heavy airstrikes provided cover for the operation, but killed at least 67 Palestinians. According to a new Ipsos Knowledge Panel poll, 86% of Americans think President Joe Biden, 81, is too old to serve another term as president. That figure includes 59% of Americans who think both he and former President Donald Trump, who's 77, are both too old. Corey Myers, USA News.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from wallofire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Wallofire.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
I had no idea it would destroy my life. But before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to GCNfood.com. GCNfood.com.
The music there is "We Are Coming, Father Abraham, 300,000 More." The music by Stephen Foster, the great American composer. Of course, this is a song written about President Lincoln after he became president. If you had met the boy, Abraham Lincoln, a new resident of Indiana, living in a 360-square-foot cabin together with his sister and his mother and his father, and then later other relatives who joined them, the idea that he would become president of the United States was unthinkable. This was a boy who was just learning how to read. And by the way, it's fascinating that the first example we have of writing by this great master of the English language, who, of course, everyone knows the Gettysburg Address and the Second Inaugural, who wrote so beautifully. The first example of his writing that we have, which he wrote in a very clear hand, it was very decisive, and you can recognize the same handwriting he used later on. But it was in his sum book. Now, the sum book was, he loved ciphering, which is arithmetic. Now, that's what he appears to have really liked in school. And this is all we have as evidence of his school days, which totaled less than a year. He had taken a bunch of pages. He had gotten paper. Paper was unusual. And he had personally sewn them together. And he made a sum book where most of it was him solving multiplication problems. For instance, the boy Lincoln was asked to multiply 34,567,834 times 23,423. This is pretty impressive, actually. And there was then he was asked to divide 4,375,702 by 2,432. Now, this is all in Abraham Lincoln's handwriting as a small boy. Or to solve problems like, if 3 ounces of silver cost 17 shillings, what will 48 ounces cost? Things like this that basically school kids might have a tough time doing today. By the way, later he became fascinated by geometry as an adult when he was serving in Congress. He actually worked his way through a geometry textbook because he loved mathematics. But in his sum book, the first words that we know of written by the future president were these: Abraham Lincoln is my name, and with my pen I wrote the same. I wrote in both haste and speed, and left it here for fools to read. He did impress the kids around him because he was an expert at spelling. And there is one incident at school that one of his friends from the time recalls where a little girl who Lincoln appears to have liked, a little girl was having a tough time spelling, and she was supposed to be spelling the word die. And she was about to spell it with a Y, and he could tell, and he signaled to her by touching his eye so that she knew it was an I. He went to school wearing a coonskin cap, this is no kidding, and buckskin breeches, pants, that were much too short for him because he was a tall boy. He ended up becoming 6'4". But he was always popular and impressive. And this is an interesting thing. The love for funny stories, for sometimes bawdy stories, that he later developed, he developed as a small boy. He loved telling jokes, telling stories. And when he began reading and borrowing books, the first book that he read and largely memorized was the Family Bible. Now, how did they have a Family Bible? They were illiterate. It was an heirloom from some previous generation, and we're not even sure which one. This was from his stepmother. And part of the tragedy of young Lincoln's life was that his mother, Nancy Hanks, we have no idea what she looked like. There are contradictory versions of what she looked like. There was never any sketch, any drawing, any painting. Of course, this is long before the era of photographs. But his mother died in 1818 when Abraham was 9 years old. And she died of what was called milk sick. This was a disease that came from the milk because cows were apparently eating a poisonous root in this part of Indiana. And actually, two relatives who lived in a nearby cabin also died of the same disease. She was sick for 7 days. Abraham apparently was at her bedside, and she told him she was going. He said goodbye to her. Thomas Lincoln used some of the rails that they had used to build the log cabin to build her coffin. And young Abraham, 9 years old, had to whittle down the pegs to put in the rails to form his mother's coffin. How'd the motherless boy become president? That and more on The Real Lincoln.
You're listening to a special history program, The Real Lincoln, on The Michael Medved Show.
Thanks for listening to the special history broadcast. If you want even more content from Michael Medved, go to our website, michaelmedved.com, and consider becoming a Medhead. It's $5 a month for a year subscription, and there's so much content available. The 3-hour daily broadcast, commercial-free, hundreds of commentaries, 2 new podcasts, private chats with Michael, and lots more. It's all at michaelmedved.com. Click on the Medhead subscription and become a member. Thanks for listening in this greatest nation on God's green earth.
This is Michael Medved at michaelmedved.com for Town Hall. The Trump administration's Middle East peace plan has been widely criticized as a political stunt designed to help the re-election efforts of Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu and Trump himself. But such criticism ignores surprising support from major Arab powers like Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and the Gulf Emirates, and real conceptual breakthroughs in the proposal's details. For one thing, the plan requires no relocation of populations for either Palestinians or Israelis. Second, Trump proposes security securing significant new land for the Palestinians near Gaza to compensate for once Arab territory inhabited for 40 years by established Jewish communities. The plan also commits $50 billion in foreign investment, mostly from wealthy Arab states, to help grow the Palestinian economy and to settle descendants of one-time refugees who wish to relocate to the new state of Palestine. In all, it's a serious proposal that deserves serious consideration after the spirited election season in both Israel and America. I'm Michael Medved.
The music here is called President Lincoln's Grand March, and it was written for the president-elect after he became president-elect in 1860. But the subject of this portion of The Real Lincoln is, how did he ever escape this extraordinarily poor and very difficult childhood? His mother died when President Lincoln, the future president, was 9 years old. And this was apparently the most painful time of his childhood. He never wrote about it. He wrote about other things. But we don't know what his mother looked like. She was buried on a hillside near their farm in Indiana. It was an unmarked grave. And then years later, actually 14 years after President Lincoln died, some people tried to find the place and commemorate where Nancy Hanks Lincoln died with a gravestone. They think it's the right place. Lincoln looked back on those days in Indiana, where he lived till he was 21 with his family. And part of the reason for that was because every dollar that he earned, and he had begun earning dollars, his father would let him go to neighboring farms. Well, yes, he worked splitting rails. He was a big, strong, exceptionally athletic and tough kid. And he didn't like to work, but he did it. He did it very, very well. In fact, one of his neighbors, whose name was John Romaine, said, "Abraham worked for me, but he was always reading and thinking. I used to get mad at him for it. I saw he was awful lazy. He would laugh and talk, crack jokes, and tell stories all the same. He said to me that his father taught him to work, but he never taught him to love it."
You're listening to a special history program, The Real Lincoln, on The Michael Medved Show.
Instability, vulnerability, uncertainty, volatility, precarious, unpredictable. Now, all of those words describe our banking system right now, as evidenced by the recent collapse of major banks. Michael Medved here for AmFed Coin and Bullion. This was the second largest bank failure in history, and the Federal Reserve has been scrambling to keep this bank run from spreading. Now, if you feel uneasy about having too much money sitting in the bank, you're not alone. Gold, silver, and platinum have had recent gains as investors look for safe places to park their money. Now more than ever, you need to call my good friends Nick Grovich and Company, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion. I've been doing business with Nick for many years, and I wouldn't go anywhere else. Nick and his team of specialists will provide you with personalized attention, honest information, and sound advice. If you're interested in buying or selling, call AmFed Coin and Bullion, 800-221-7694, 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com. A lot of times on the Michael Medved Show, we're talking about the present, things that just happened. Sometimes we try to look toward the future, but we also try very seriously to look toward the past. And that's why it's a very good idea right now in this present moment to sign up as a Medhead Plus member. It gives you access to close to 100 history programs on the Medved Show, ranging from the American Revolution to the origins of the State of Israel to the history of political parties in the United States and the Constitution and world struggles like World War I and World War II, and yes, the Vietnam War. All available to you at a minuscule cost of 22 cents a day. Plus access to our show 24/7. Go to MedvedHistoryStore.com. You spend a little, you learn a lot.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralized the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
To a special history program, The Real Lincoln, on The Michael Medved Show.
For Lincoln, the support from religious Americans was phenomenal. David Donald, in his fine biography of Lincoln, writes, "The support the president received from Protestant religious groups was overwhelming. He had made a point of consulting religious leaders and of praising their contribution to the war effort. In May, when a delegation from the Methodist Episcopal Church pointed out the denomination's record for loyalty and support of the administration, he replied, 'God bless the Methodist Church, bless all the churches, and blessed be God, who in this our great trial giveth us the churches.' The same month he offered thanks to the American Baptist Home Mission Society for the effective and almost unanimous support which the Christian communities are so zealously giving to the country and to liberty." And as a matter of fact, when the Methodist bishop, Gilbert Haven, announced the church's duty of the hour was to, quote, "march to the ballot box an army of Christ with the banners of the cross and deposit as she can a million of votes for her true representative," meaning Lincoln, "and she will give the last blow to the reeling fiend," meaning the Confederacy. The Christian Advocate and Journal observed, "There probably never was an election in all our history into which the religion element entered so largely, and nearly all on one side." Lincoln, ironically, was not personally a church-going man, never was. In fact, it was an issue that was used against him when he ran for and got elected to his one term in Congress. But he became, particularly with the pressures of the war, deeply and increasingly religious and fatalistic. He kept a copy of the Bible on his desk, and he read through it. He knew much of the Bible by heart. In fact, he knew it extraordinarily well. There's an amazing story where he was told about the Rump Convention that had nominated Fremont, who was going to be his rival. And it was not a very impressive convention. There are a lot of losers there, like many third and fourth and fifth party conventions often are. And Lincoln was amused, and a friend gave him a detailed report of the convention and the small number of delegates who showed up, about 400, Lincoln then picked up the Bible on his desk, and he immediately turned to a passage from 1 Samuel, quote, "And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men." Later, Lincoln sent Simon Cameron, who was one of the sleaziest politicians of the era, a real Pennsylvania operator, over to Fremont and assured Fremont that Lincoln would fire the most conservative member of the cabinet that a lot of the radicals didn't like and basically made promises, and Fremont withdrew. And that enabled Lincoln to get the nomination. But he was deeply involved with every detail of trying to arrange the election. Part of that coexisted with Lincoln with a very, very deep sense of fatalism. One of the points that he is famous for having made is he said, "I claim not to have controlled events, but confess plainly that events have controlled me. Now, at the end of 3 years struggle, the nation's condition is not what either party or any man devised or expected. God alone can claim it." And even though he was not a churchgoer, one evening during 1864, when things were looking terrible for his reelection, his old friend Joshua Speed came to see him, one of the first people he had known well in New Salem. And Speed saw him in the White House sitting there reading the Bible. And Speed said to him, "I am glad to see you so profitably engaged." "Yes," the president said, "I am profitably engaged." "Well," said his visitor, "if you have recovered from your skepticism, I am sorry to say that I have not." Both of them were not conventional believers. And then Lincoln looked him square in the eyes and he said, "You are wrong, Speed. Take all of this book, upon reason that you can, and the balance, take on faith, and you will live and die a happier and better man." Later, he had come to feel, he told a delegation of Baltimore African Americans who presented him with a magnificently bound Bible in appreciation of his work to end slavery. Lincoln said, "This great book is the best gift God has given to man." The fatalism, the patience, the idea that, yes, he could influence events, but he could not control them. Part of what made Lincoln so uniquely great and so uniquely effective as a leader of a titanic, unimaginably serious conflict. "The purposes of the Almighty are perfect and must prevail," he said, "though we erring mortals may fail to accurately perceive them in advance."
Looking for a family gift that will have meaning and purpose for generations? Isn't it time your family's history was captured in book form? It's the most amazing gift you can give your parents or other loved ones. So often when parents pass away, their stories depart with them. Now my friend, New York Times bestselling author Michael Levin and his ghostwriting team can capture your family story in a memoir that will educate and delight family members for generations to come. Don't let your family story disappear. Michael and his team will plan the book, interview loved ones, do appropriate research, write and publish the book for you. He and his team are responsible for over 700 books over the last 26 years. Isn't your family story important enough to capture in print? For information, visit michaelmedved.com and click on the banner for Writing Help. That's Writing Help at michaelmedved.com.
You're listening to a special history program, The Real Lincoln, on The Michael Medved Show.
Yes, Lincoln inspired the people of his own era, but he also transcended the time in which he lived in so many strange and truly remarkable ways. For instance, he may have been, according to the historian Paul Johnson, I think he's right, the first American who ever referred to Indians as Native Americans. Yeah, he did. He was a great defender of immigrant rights and was very pro-immigration. It's one of the reasons he hated the Know-Nothing Party that broke away from the Whig Party that was anti-immigrant. And he said to those who protested about German immigrants in particular, "Who are the Native Americans? Do they not wear the breech clout and carry the tomahawk? We push them from their homes and now turn on others not fortunate enough to come over so early as we or our forefathers." And then Lincoln, by about 20 years, when he was running for the state legislature for the second time, was the first American working politician to talk about giving votes to women. He issued his manifesto. He said, "I go for all sharing the privileges of government who assist in sharing its burdens. Consequently, I go for admitting all whites to the right of suffrage who pay taxes or bear arms, by no means excluding females." This is remarkable stuff for 90 years before women actually got the right to vote. And concerning his racial attitudes, yes, he was a supporter of colonization, the crazy idea that freed slaves should be sent back to Africa, or he even had the idea at one point that they should have a colony in Central America. His attitudes were something very different. Frederick Douglass tells the story. He became the first African-American to be invited to a presidential inauguration. He was basically thrown out by mistake because he was black. He was a freed slave himself, great abolitionist, of the White House. And then Lincoln saw him, and he saw him being hustled out by the guards, and he shouted out, "Here comes my friend Douglass. I am glad to see you. I saw you in the crowd today listening to my inaugural address. How did you like it?" When Douglass briefly replied positively, "I liked it very much. This is the inaugural in 1865. Then Lincoln said, "There is no man in the country whose opinion I value more than yours." Lincoln, of course, was assassinated 5 weeks later, and Douglass wrote years later after that, "In all my interviews with Mr. Lincoln, I was impressed with his entire freedom from popular prejudice against the colored race," so wrote the former slave. "He was the first great man that I talked with in the U.S. freely, who in no single instance reminded me of the difference between himself and myself, of the difference of color. And I thought that all the more remarkable because he came from a state where there were black laws, where prejudice flourished. But Lincoln did free the slaves shortly before his death through constitutional amendment, if not through the Emancipation Proclamation. He did save the Union, and he gave our nation a new birth of freedom. May we have that same new birth of freedom by recalling his story, the greatest story of this greatest nation on God's green earth."
This is Michael Medved at michaelmedved.com for Town Hall. New poll results show an alarming level of religious distrust aimed at evangelicals and help to explain overwhelming support for President Trump from born-again Christian believers. The Wall Street Journal NBC survey showed only 54% of Americans felt comfortable voting for a presidential candidate who is an evangelical Christian. Since 25% of the electorate identifies themselves as evangelical, this means that a heavy majority of the non-evangelical population expressed discomfort over backing any born-again Christian. What's notable is that far more than two-thirds, expressed their readiness to back a gay candidate. The unexpected level of undeserved discomfort regarding committed Christian citizens serves to explain why so many evangelicals see President Trump as an indispensable defender of their liberties, even though he's not personally religious. Given widespread media-fomented hostility to the religiously committed, many believers will eagerly back a secular candidate who nonetheless provides strong support on issues like religious liberty, defending the unborn, traditional marriage, and more. I'm Michael Medved.
There's a lot of talk all over the internet these days about the remarkable benefits of Carbon 60, and baby boomers are especially excited about it. Whatever generation you're in, if you want more energy, better health, and a boost in vitality, we invite you to try Gresca's Carbon 60, a stunning development in free radical destruction. Being much smaller in size than conventional antioxidants derived from fruits and vegetables, it is far more bioavailable to quickly mend the toxin crippled cells in your body. Gresca's Carbon 60 is the only C60 product that is made without the use of undesirable solvents. The only one. Gresca's Carbon 60 was developed by a brilliant NASA carbon scientist, and 95% report positive results from this Nobel Prize winning technology in just 4 days. Visit C-60.com. That's C-60.com, or call 720-600-6040.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.